Bible there, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, we'll be looking at verses 26 to 40. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two, or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church, and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh in what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy, one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command from the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all things should be done decently and in order. Amen. I was thinking this week, remembering a few things. I was remembering going to camp. I've all been to camp ever. I think I've been to like church camp three times, two different camps. But I distinctly remember one. Second, when I was a sophomore in high school, went to this camp up way up in northern Minnesota, and it was very significant to me. It was actually a time when I got Spirit moving in such a way that, unknowingly, in some ways, I committed myself to His service. You know, not to realize that it would come back to me, but it did, and here I am. But this particular camp, why I'm bringing that up now is, in that week. You know, so we did a normal camp thing, right? You get up in the morning, have breakfast, you know, and then we just have a morning meeting and then an evening meeting. Now, in this camp, these were long meetings, all right? I mean, 2-3 hours of teenagers in an enclosed space, okay? They were long. They were very long. But it was a very charismatic kind of place and lots of things going on. But we had one particular meeting this evening, and I was sitting there, and the preacher guy was doing his thing. I don't remember what he was talking about. But it all of a sudden just kind of happened. Kids started, you know, speaking in tongues, and then some others did. And then pretty soon everybody was. And then some people were singing over here, and it was going on and on. And then people were falling over, and church chairs were flying around. And it was honestly chaotic. Yeah, it was, and I'm watching, you know, and there's part of me, I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, what's going on here? It's kind of, you know, whatever, you know, I'm excited, but there's a part of me, and especially looking back on it now, it was chaotic. It was crazy in some ways, and I'm looking at it going, what is this actually doing? How is this actually helping other than, you know, these new experiences? And I think of that because I think that's kind of what Paul is addressing here. All right, this kind of a worship experience where good things are happening, people are speaking out, that's fine. But Paul is seeing this and he's going, it just seems kind of chaotic, and how is this building up the church questions? I think it brings us to the question that we need to wrestle with today is what is this for? Why are we here? What is Sunday morning from 10:15 to 11:15 every day for? What is its purpose? What is our role then together in this time together? I mean, you can ask questions like, is it for entertainment? Unfortunately, I think there are some churches, because of human nature, that fall into that category. Big productions. I've been to church services. I mean, worship, just normal Sunday worship service with smoke machines and light shows. Is that what it was about? Is it for comfort and healing? How many people come in here wounded? Is the purpose of our time here together to receive personal healing and comfort? And I would say yes. Yes, God works in that way. Is it so that I can get energized for the week, right? I get beat up all week and I come to Sunday morning and I just want to get energized and get my, get my tank filled back up so I can get out there and get through another week. Is the purpose of our time here to experience God in supernatural ways? Maybe. Is it here simply to learn? Right? Like going to class, take notes, maybe we can have quizzes. Right? Is that the purpose? Another thing I thought of is the purpose of a church service like this to be a witness? Is that the reason that we gather like this? So that others can hear the gospel and that. And I've been to churches where that was the intended purpose above all else. It was simply, well, not simply, but mainly to present the gospel for unbelievers. And that's why they gathered. It's a good question. One that we should wrestle with. Why? Why do you come here every morning? And what is your role in this time? Are you simply a audience member? Take in and get loaded up and get out of here? Do you participate? How do you participate? What is your role? What gifts do you bring to the table for this gathering here? And Paul is going to address some of these things in this time. We see that in this Corinthian church that they love their spiritual gifts. Love them. Particularly the spectacular ones. Prophecy, tongues, those kind of things. But apparently, from what we're gathering here, is that these services were getting out of hand. Paul saw this. He saw everybody wanting to speak. He sees people interrupting other people, tongues being spoken with no interpretation. And so I think what Paul was seeing is that instead of a church being edified, of being built up, they were leaving confused. Walk out after the time going, what just happened? I'm not sure. I think Paul sums it all up in the very last verse of this section, verse 40. He said, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, I'm very happy today. I have 5 points, and they are alliterated. I was so excited when I'm like, oh, this works. All right. So, just to give you an outline where we're going here. We're going to look at the purpose of worship. We're going to look at the practice of order. We want to consider the posture of submission, the priority of God's word, and the principle that governs all. And there are some interesting things that we're going to see here today. So first, the purpose of worship. In verse 26, and I'm going to spend most of my time here. The other ones I may, but here, this is a lot we want to understand here. Verse 26 says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. Thing number one, in the purpose of us being here right now, is so that we can be built up. Okay, plural. This is us together being built up. Now, the problem that we see here was, I think, in the Corinthian church was a problem of self-expression rather than mutual edification. There's a problem of what can I get out of this, as opposed to what does this do for us? And it's a mindset, you know, because individually, of course you are all individuals. Of course you come in here with your own stuff going on. You come in here with your own needs, your own desires. You each come in here with your own heart before God. And God works with that. And He will. He does speak to us individually. I hope as I speak here that each of you are hearing and you yourselves will hear and have God speak to you in some way. Okay? But is that the reason you're here? You know, like a body. Okay, think about like a body. If everything's be for building up, you know, if I get a cut on my finger, all right, well, then I put a bandage on it and the finger feels better, but really the whole body feels better. I mean, we do something for the individual part, for the benefit of everybody. Now, I don't think that this is a worship service template, all right? At 9:45, I expect you to come in, and I'll have a piece of paper and a clipboard, say, okay, what is your contribution today? Oh, you got prophecy? Okay, I'll stick you in here. Okay, oh, you have a song? Great. I'll get that right after this. You have a scripture you want to read? Perfect. I'll put you right here, right? That's how it's going on here. Okay, this is not a template. However, we should have the mindset that I, each of you, contributes to this gathering each week. And your contribution matters. Every single Sunday, you being here contributes to what's going on here, and it matters. I mean, we want to come in again, change our thinking to something like, if we come in here with the intention of only benefiting ourselves, then what good is it for us? So something like the music, okay? So we have, I'm here playing guitar, we got Sarah, we got Cheryl, you know, and then they're the music people, and we're doing this for you. But you also sing, and it's a big deal. So we practice, you know, and it's just us. It's a very different thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, and today we heard you a little bit more because we didn't have the organ. And to hear your voices contributes to the whole thing. It's wonderful. It is. You know, so you participate. That is your gift to us, to all of us. And if you don't sing along, you know, you think, oh, hey, you know, you don't want me to sing along kind of thing. Well, no, absolutely not. You're participating. You are part of this. And your attention is participating in this. You know, it was interesting. That first hymn on the Solid Rock. You know, now you probably may recognize it to another tune, right? You know, and it was interesting because we did this tune to it, you know, and it kind of threw me off a little bit. But it also made me think about it a little bit more. You know, these words kind of jumped out at me a little bit more. So as you were singing, Are you thinking about what we're actually singing? You know, sometimes language is hymn. It could be old language. But again, your participation. You, as you come in here, invest and participate for the benefit of all of us. Reading scriptures. It's outstanding. I love it. I love it to have opportunity for everybody to do that sometimes. I always have those cards back. Come in, grab one. Now, is your purpose, or would it be a purpose to grab that because you love the sound of your own voice? Maybe because, you know, you can do it in such a way that people compliment you? And maybe they do, and it's great. But is that why you do it? You know your heart. God knows your heart. And that's what we want to be considering of. We want to, even if you are good at it, even if you do get compliments for it, and that's fine. But is in your head, the reason you want to do it is to build up this body so people can hear the word, hear it clearly and be able to understand it. I mean, imagine a potluck and everybody brought lima beans. Gross. Well, not gross. I mean, they're okay. I can't remember the last time I bought lima beans. All right? If they're served, okay, fine. All right? Or what if you came to the potluck and there's a particular dish that you know that you really like. Nobody else does. But you know what? I want to eat this. And so I'm going to bring this. Right? That's kind of what we're talking about here. Right? You know, in a potluck, everybody brings something with the idea of everybody else. Do I have enough for everybody? Will everybody else enjoy this? That's what we do to here. We come in here with a mindset of how will my participation in this service, be it singing or reading the Word of God or just being here, how will that build up this body? Now, you know, of course, things like just being here is helpful, right? You know, when the Knowles family's all gone on vacation, there's a big hole here, and we notice it. You know, my family's all gone. Hey, it's kind of that section right there is gone, and we notice it, right? Your being here is very important. I think the application here would be in your mornings as you come here, rushed, what's going on, whatever, take a moment, ask yourself, how can I build up somebody else today by being here? That's the purpose of worship. Then Paul goes into the practice, all right? This is very practical. He's saying, okay, guys, here's what we got to do, all right? He speaks of tongues. He speaks of prophecy. And he just gives us some, I think, just good guidelines. Okay, tongues, great. He's not saying no. But, hey, guys, let's put a little limit on here, okay? One or two, maybe three, one at a time, and only if there's someone to interpret. Now, again, we are really removed from this, right? I don't know how this would work, all right? We'd have to figure that out. And if one of you came up to me and said, hey, Steve, I've been really feeling strongly in the spirit that I have a message of God in tongues. I'd say, oh, okay, cool. Do we have an interpreter? I don't know. Ooh, okay. We got to figure that out first then. All right? Again, I don't know how it works. It may not be in our Bible, whatever. But see what I mean? We have control. And that's Paul's point here. You know, we can't say, I got to let it out. No. I heard someone say, you know, that God is not rude. He's a very polite God, generally speaking, right? He doesn't force us into salvation. He doesn't force us to obey. He doesn't force us to follow him. He says, please, I would love for you to go deeper in me. I would love for you to follow me. I would love for you to hear this. I would love for you to understand this. I would love for you to grow in this area. But we can say no, always. We are in control. Same with prophecy and how we look at it. Just a word from God. Again, you come in a Sunday morning, say, oh, Steve, I've got this, man, all week long, my heart, it's been like, just gripped me, and I think I have a word. I think I have something that's been on my mind that I think really applies to all of us. Okay, one, I would be so excited. I would. That would thrill me. It would. Now, I may ask, you know, or come to me, come to Brad, come to Kevin, say, yeah, here's what it is. And maybe you'll say it. You know, here's what I'm thinking. Now, one, we could say, outstanding. You know, that kind of lines up with kind of what I'm thinking about too. That's cool. Or we may say, oh, you know, that's good. There's one little part here that kind of doesn't really follow with God's word. Maybe we want to rethink that a bit, right? You know, that's what we want to do. And then say, passes that and they say it up to the congregation. It's then our responsibility, in however that works, to evaluate it, to think, yes, this is true, maybe it's not. And that's okay. And mistakes could be made, but that's fine. I would rather have you say something, speak what's on your heart, put it before us, right, wrong, in between, amended, tweaked, whatever it may be. That's okay, because we are people, and we love to see that kind of thing. But he tells us that God is not of confusion. We're not going to get messed up over this, but it's of peace. You could think of, again, like we talked this before, this whole section on spiritual gifts. It's like an orchestra. And we want things to be in order for it to make sense. And I was thinking today, actually, I think it's more like a jam session. Right? I one time in Minneapolis, I went to this blues place. So they're having a jam session. And all these people could come in, and they would just gather up on the stage. No plan. All right? Now, they just didn't go up there, and then everybody just starts playing something, you know, singing whatever. You know, that wouldn't do any good. They say, okay, hey, let's do this song. They go, oh, hey, what key is that? Okay, yeah, yeah. Oh, I know that one. You know, and then bass, and it was so much fun. It was amazing. We had these talented people just come together randomly and could produce something beautiful. But there was order. And there was kind of one guy who was kind of the leader there. You know, he kind of kept things in control. But it's not chaos. It's not chaos. You want to have some kind of order things so that people can understand. Everybody, each person as you hear right now, is an active participant in what's going on here. I'm the one sitting there speaking. You are listening, I hope. Actively. Concentrating. Give me 20 minutes of just your attention to hear. Not for my sake, you know, in case I slip up, in case I say something wrong. You know, it can happen. I need you. I need you in this. Worship should be harmony, not noise. The Spirit brings us freedom, and we want to exercise that freedom. It's wonderful. But God is always a God of order and peace, and never disorder. So that's the practice. Then we get to this verse 34 to 36. Oh boy. The posture of submission. We need to have reverence in our worship. These verses, you read them. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent. They're not permitted to speak. Now, let me just ask, how does that fall on you? Women, be quiet. I don't want you speaking. You know, I mean, is that what Paul is dealing with here? One could spend weeks. Okay, this is a big issue. This is something that's going through. Let me give you a couple things here. Okay, one. Earlier, in this very book, Paul encouraged women to pray and to prophesy. All right? So I don't think this is a mandate for when a woman walks through this door, they keep their mouth shut until they go home. All right? Women, you have gifts. Gifts of tongues, gifts of prophecy, all these things that are to be exercised in the church. Okay? So in the context of this, I don't think that's what Paul is saying here. You know, there's lots of other places we can go to, of, you know, women teaching and all these things. But here, right here, chapter 14, verses 36, 34 through 36, I don't think Paul's command is that for women to be in the church and not speak, to be silent. Okay? And there are some hints in here. You know, he tells them, you know, if there's something you want to know, go home to your husbands and ask. So we're kind of maybe talking about married women here. All right? Married women. A lot of speculation. We don't know what exactly is going on here. We know there's chaos. So maybe it's something where Paul is offering this freedom that maybe, particularly, again, think about this culture that women had never had before. Right? They are coming in to this body of believers with a teaching and understanding that they are equal before God. that they have as much to offer as anybody before God, that their talents, their gifts, their desires are equal before God. And this is radical. This flies in the face of everything this culture is telling them. Maybe it might have gone to their head. You know? And again, the picture we're having is just one of chaos. You know, somebody's speaking and you know, somebody stands up and says, "Hey, I think this," or "What about this?" And then there's, "Oh, hey, you know, that's a good point." You know, and all of a sudden they're talking over each other. Again, we're not sure. But I think the principle here is one of submission, and that's for all of us. Have a God of order, of peace. So I imagine Paul's walking in, he's seeing all this going on, he's going, "Oh, you guys, what are you doing here?" All right? Again, much, much more could be said. But it seems to me that in this context, Paul is speaking of mutual respect and authority and being in order. You know, earlier in 11, Paul addresses this men and women and encourages women to speak. But you remember that's when he talked about head coverings. You know, getting the cultures to show that, hey, I want to show respect to my husband in these things and don't want to be shameful. You know, it's like in a courtroom. You have a courtroom. I mean, everybody is entitled to speak, right? But not all at once. And you got to kind of respect the judge. I think that's Paul's getting to. I mean, today, in our context here, whether male or female, old, young, our worship calls for being humble with each other, respectful for each other. Someone says something you disagree with, and you know, and this can extend out, you know, from this hour right now to the time we gather here together as we talk with each other before we go downstairs, our Sunday school time, right? This is just an overall attitude of peace and humility with one another. The focus should never be on ourselves. We should not draw attention to ourselves, but to Christ. That's what we want to do with it. That is the posture of submission. Again, much more could be said, but we'll leave it at that for now. If you have questions, please, let's talk about it. Fourthly, Paul tells us the priority of God's word. As he's addressing these things, he's asserting himself. He says, "You know that I speak with authority. You know I'm an apostle. We've established that. We've been talking about it." And to reject them is to reject God himself. And the principle we want to take from that is whatever we do in this space, in this time together, everything, our experiences, what is said, whatever it is, must be tested by God's word. Has to be. And if it flies in the face in any way, we reject it. Think of it as a construction worker doing a building. Now, a construction worker could have a really good eye, right? They can look at something and say, "Yep, that's level, that's square." But even the very best I've ever seen will always go and grab a level or grab a square to make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be, right? That's what we're talking about here. When we speak to each other, when we encourage each other, when we rebuke each other, wherever it may be, when I'm speaking here, you all have your toolkit and you have your level or your square. And I want to make sure that all of us, myself included, absolutely, to be willing to have someone come to me and say, "Hey, Steve, you know, that wasn't quite square. Maybe you think about this. Maybe you should have said it this way." Absolutely. I would never want anything I say to go against God's word in any way. And we want to encourage each other in this. Worship that ignores God's word drifts in confusion. And that's what they were seeing there. But worship anchored in God's word is safe, it's strong, and the Spirit can work. That's what we want to have happen, the priority of God's word. And then he finishes kind of where I started. The principle that governs all. All things should be done decently and in order and for the benefit of others. Order, and I've heard this argument. Some people think, well, those rules, that just stifles the Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, and you put all these restrictions on it, you're stifling it. It should be let out. Paul says, no. Again, we are in control of ourselves. And we don't want to be confused. It'd be like, I'm going to have a bonfire, right? Hey, everybody, come on over. We have a nice fire. It'll be nice and warm. It's kind of getting cold all the fall. And it'll be great. And you come over, and across the whole patio and the lawn, I have all these individual logs sitting out there. I say, okay, let's light the bonfire. You know, and I go light this log and maybe these twigs and go over there, and that's not going to do any good, right? But we gather them together. I make myself a nice little log cabin out of a teepee, and then that order, it doesn't stifle the Spirit. It doesn't stifle the fire. It makes it stronger, makes it brighter, makes it more warm. It serves its purpose in the way it's supposed to. That's what it's like with us here. We're not stifling anything by having order. One or two, this here, that part there, a song here, a song there. It's like getting all the pieces of the fire together and then letting God's Spirit get the fire going for our benefits. God's order does not stifle the Spirit. It gives it strength and purpose. Corinth's problem was not too much passion. Right? They were passionate people. They're excited. God's Spirit was obviously moving in them in spectacular ways. They were seeing things, hearing things that they'd never heard before. They were a light in a very dark place. So their passion was the problem. But too little love and order. We've heard them talk about them stratifying themselves. Rich, poor, young, old, men and women. We've heard them being unloving and selfish. That's the problem they have. Paul calls them and us to a worship, a time together that is edifying, orderly, reverent, and scriptural. That is what we want to have here. So our question should be, as we come together each Sunday, every single Sunday, every single one of you, does my participation build others up? Am I here just warming a spot in the pew? Or is my intention to meet God, to hear His voice, and for those around me to be built up? And what can I do to help that? And maybe it's just singing out, even though you're not a singer. Maybe it's grabbing that scripture card and reading once in a while. Maybe it's going up to somebody after service, putting your hand on the shoulder and praying for them. Maybe it is sharing in some way what God has been talking and speaking to you in your heart. You've been reading your Bible and something's jumping out at you. We need that. I would love that. Right? We always have to ask ourselves, does our time together reflect God's peace and not confusion? If there's anything here that's confusing ever, please let me know. We want to have order. We want to be built up. And, of course, we ask, are we willing to submit to God's word as we worship together? To hear it clearly, whether it's the words I say here, or even the songs we sing, or the word that's read, are we willing and attentive and participating so that those things can make a difference by God's Spirit? The Spirit is not honored by disorder. It's not better. And I've been in places where I think that was thought.
you walk into a place, and again, like that camp scene, everybody just going nuts. I don't think that's honoring. I think it's confusing. Imagine someone happened to be driving down the road, and maybe they got a flat tire, and they walked into that camp that night. They heard this noise up at this building. Oh, man, okay, maybe someone can help me. And they walk in, and they see kids just babbling incoherently, falling over, crying, weeping, laughing. Would that benefit that person anyway? Probably not. I think Paul's call to Corinthians and to us is to worship God in spirit and in truth, with joy, with passion, with passion and order in a way that glorifies Christ. I pray that is what we will experience together as we go on and on. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would have your way with us. The song says, have thine own way, have thine own way. You are the potter. We are the clay. Help us to remember that. Help us to come in here with a heart for each other. With a heart for your word, for a heart for your spirit to move us in whatever way that you would want. Help us to not be afraid of that. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that our participation together will be build each other up, would build up this church, and would glorify you in every way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.